The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 551. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight, I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
So, people, how's it going?
Chris Seeley. Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
And Brian Munjoma.
Thank you, NASA. The next 6 months of Joe Rogan podcast is going to be the best ever.
Oh, man. I have a comment to make about that, but I'll save it for the end of the show. Not particularly because I can't say it on air. It's just I don't want to derail the whole thing. Because obviously, and this is the part I wanted to... Actually, that's a little bit of a good segue there, Brian. Because obviously, a lot of crazy shit's been going on in the world this week. But as we always say on Throwdown, this is your sanctuary for away from all that stuff. So we ain't going to be talking about any of that stuff. You know, we're here to talk about them video games, bruh. So, we're just, you know, here to give you guys some fun, even when aliens are involved. Fucking Joe Rogan, man. Let's go. All right, so Rich may or may not be here later. Adam's probably doing TV Terminal. I think Adam, that's all he does now. I think it's just TV Terminal every single day. You know, it's a lot of TV. There's a lot of TV shows out there. You know, there's a lot of TV, you know. But yeah, despite, you know, all the craziness out there, it was actually kind of slow week in gaming. I mean, we got a good decent amount of stuff to talk about here, but there was no like megaton or anything like that. Just a bunch of little microtons, as Torrance would call them. Yo,
microtons. You don't the new iPhone ain't a megaton. You can play video games on it. You got 8 cores.
Oh, by the way, I got to say this real quick, man, because I tweeted something out today about how, like, I don't really bother, like, arguing with people anymore, even in real life. Like, you got a problem, I'm just like, cool, whatever. But I was referring mostly to online people. I'm like, you know, if somebody has a really stupid, you know, like, opinion, I leave it alone. I don't need to argue. Then somebody replied to me like, yeah, you mean like your opinions about the iPhone earlier this week? And I'm like, oh, this is news to me because I've neither tweeted about the iPhone or reported about it. I'm like, can you send me these tweets? And then the guy replies, you know what you said. Yeah, yeah, no, but no, I knew, but like, iPhone, what?
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, and then you know, the guy replied to me like, oh, you know what you said. And then, you know, sticking to my rule, I just blocked them. Fucking, like, you know what you said. I'm like, no, tell me what I said, because I don't know. Why am I going to talk about an iPhone? I don't cover that shit, you know? Hilarious.
Maybe they just attributed it to you because of your website.
Maybe, but my name isn't even on the box. I have literally written nothing about the iPhone. Nothing.
Yo, man, you're apparently Tom now.
Yeah, I guess so. What are we going to say, Brian?
My thing is that is not the slimmest iPhone ever, because that's not how you measure things. I mean, you need to include the camera bump, or else it's not the thinnest. I mean, it's like saying that pyramids are like 6 meters wide. It's like, no, that's not where you measure them.
Yeah, we're not going to get into iPhone discussion, but I agree with you, Brent, because my first thought when they revealed the iPhone Air, right, I was just like, that's pretty thick. That was my first thought, because the fucking camera, because the phone is like so thin, the camera book looks even thicker, you know? So I'm like, I don't know about that, you know? As Richard would say, I don't know about that. Anyway, so let's get to our favorite company. Actually did have a bunch of developments this week, Nintendo. So we're getting into it, and they're all, with the exception of one, they all involve lawsuits or settlements of some sort. It's crazy. So the wildest one is that in America, they've actually won a patent for summoning characters to let them fight. Remember, they, you know, they were trying to make that a patent over in Japan. Well, some idiot judge in the United States approved it. So now that's a thing. So if you have a game where you summon a character to fight another character, you're infringing on Nintendo's patent. Hey, there's Adam. Oh, shit. Excuse me? Bruce Leroy. Well, before
Kung Fu Academy.
Right. They're right for life.
Good stuff.
That dude showed me everything.
All right, good to have you, Adam. By the way, when we were doing the intro, I was just joking. I'm like, every day, Adam's doing TV Terminal every day. That's why we don't see him anymore.
Yo, a lot of TV. It feels like every day. And then this, I got another 5 episodes to do this weekend.
Jesus, 5 episodes.
Because we have one more episode of Dark Wolf. That's ending, right? So we have one more to do of that one. Then we have 3 to do for Gen V, because we're covering that. And then Slow Horses starts. So 5. So wow. We're trying to get that all done. So yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Then to get the comments, talk to the people that like it, people that hate it, can't wait till I die. It's all fun.
But anyway, Adam, we were just talking about how Nintendo now has a patent on summoning characters against other characters, Pokemon mechanic.
Nice.
It actually has the patent on it now in America.
I can't believe they don't have patents on just all side scrollers, right?
Yeah, they should, right?
Take it all. We made up the idea of going from left to right in a video. That was
and jumping.
And jumping, yeah.
Jumping.
Yeah.
Jumping.
They should be able to fight that, right? Like, there's precedent that this mechanic existed before the existence of the franchise. Like, I don't see how this couldn't be appealed unless there's just no course for appeal. Like,
nobody cares.
Is that what we're saying?
Nobody cares.
There's got to be. Well, I agree with you, Brett. There's got to be a way. Multiple IP lawyers have said this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, what the fuck is this
but
shit?
Who stops it? But that's the thing. Who you go to the, like, the higher ups? Like, yo, to put a stop to this shit.
You got to take it to a federal court. You got to either go in front of a magistrate or it goes up to, because this patent is ridiculous. You can't patent something so basic, right? How many games before then had summoning? There's probably a ton. They don't care. They just got it. And somebody's going to have to either, Nintendo's going to go after somebody who's going to have discovery, who's going to have years and years of, like, look at this shit from the 90s. We've been doing this or whatever. And then it's going to break the pen right there.
Like, are they going to go after Yakuza? Because remember in that one, Like a Dragon, you can summon with your cell phone. And they're going to end a game that offer has summoning. They were like, oh, no, you owe us.
So let me read this part because it's related.
Try to make a second one, maybe.
Yeah, so check this out. Let me read this part because it's related to what you said, Adam. This is from IGN. While the patent pretty much sums up how Pokemon games work in that you summon Pokemon to battle other Pokemon in the hope of adding them to your collection, there are countless other games that use similar mechanics, such as Persona, Digimon, and even Elden Ring, depending on how the patent is interpreted. So yeah, it's like, depending how you interpret it, everything's a fucking Pokemon game now, you know?
Even Final Fantasy.
Yeah, because you summon fucking creatures. Summons. Yeah, yes. They're literally called summons.
I swear to God, if they fuck with my soul, sir, fly and burn.
Well, I don't. They see the Nintendo's not that ballsy. They'll fuck with little guys like the Pal World guys, like
Pocket Pair,
but they won't take on Bandai Namco. There's no way they're gonna try to wreck that relationship by litigating against them. There's no way. It's like taking on Square, same thing. They would be fucking fools to do that.
Even got this far for approval. Like, whoever read this was like, this doesn't make any damn sense. But how?
Probably some dumbass judge just approved that. Okay.
Yeah. With
my kids like Nintendo.
It reminds me of, was it Candy Crush? When the guy was trying to get a patent for the word candy? Do you remember that?
Yes.
He was like, yeah, he wanted. I was like, are you kidding me? Come on now. And summon. This is just, like you said, countless games. We can go all the way back to Ultra Beast or Golden Axe, when you would summon like the rainfall or the bombs and all that, anything that golden. That's no. I don't care. So, I don't believe it.
And apparently, well, it's happening, Adam. You know.
Okay, I don't have to accept it. You're not the boss of me.
Yeah, fuck reality. You know.
Right.
You know what? Jump off a building. You don't gravity. Fuck that. You don't have to listen to that. You know.
Fake news. That's just not real.
But apparently,
shoes me down. My shoes. I got Timbos on.
The patent was filed in 2023, and it just passed without any like objection.
paying attention.
That's what it is. So they, you know, they actually have listed here some of the situations or stipulations where this lawsuit could take place. It suggests any game that makes use of the mechanics listed below could now potentially trigger an infringement lawsuit from Nintendo. So here's what it is. One, there must be a PC console or other computing device, and the game is stored on a drive or similar storage medium. You can move a character in a virtual space. You must be able to summon a character. They call it a sub-character, by which they mean it's not the player character, but, for example, a little monster such as a Pokemon that the player character has at their disposal. Then the logic branches out with items 4 and 5 being mutually exclusive scenarios before reuniting again in item 6. And I'm reading all of these. There's 7 in total. This is about item 5. This is about summoning the sub-character in a place where there is already another character that it will then be, when instructed to do so, fight. Item 6, this alternative scenario, is about summoning the sub-character at a position where there is no other character to fight immediately. Then the final one is about sending the sub-character in a direction, then letting an automatic battle ensure another character. So basically, like, you've seen this in a bunch of other games. So it's and like,
are these all separate things, or like these are all separate patents?
They're all part of the same thing. They're all part of the same patent. Yeah.
Like, it has to meet all of those qualifiers.
Those are some of the qualifiers. It doesn't have to meet all of them. It just has to meet at least one of these, you know?
Okay, because like moving characters around in a virtual space, like I've seen Nintendo pull that kind of shit before, and like they'll try and patent the idea of fucking video games if you let them.
I mean, the first one is a game stored on a PC and a storage device. Isn't that like every single freaking modern game for the last like 20 years?
Pretty much.
Yep.
Again, these guys were not paying attention.
Or they never played a video game. They don't even know.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
Is going through all of this litigation really that much easier than listening to your fans and making a decent Pokemon game would have been? Like,
yes.
It just seems like it would have been easier to make a good Pokemon game at this point.
Yeah, but you know Nintendo doesn't do things that make sense.
I gotta believe that they can't at this point. And I don't know why they can't. And somebody like Pocket Pair can. Honestly, there's no excuse for that, because like when somebody writes fan fiction that's better than the book, then you need to like maybe sit down, drink a little less, and maybe take a writing class or two. Like, it's the appropriate response is not to like blacklist that person from the industry. It's just hire them or acquire them or fucking. Like, why this?
But they never do any of that.
They never do that. Remember the Adobe situation with the Russian developer many, many moons ago?
I know. This just seems like the most out of the way, pain in the ass way to deal with this situation. Like, there's literally anything else would have, like, at least to me, seemed better than this. Like, and maybe it's just because, like, lawyers and litigation are fucking expensive, fucking boring. Like, writing contracts and shit like that is, like, the worst shit ever. It's mind-numbingly stupid and so incredibly expensive, and I just
What if they just decided, you know what? Let's just make up some patent and see what happens. And they submit.
That's what they're doing.
Like, oh shit! They got approved. Let's keep going.
That's what they're doing. They're still paying these lawyers. I'm like the only thing, like, and you know, I'm being a bit spicy here, but like, genuinely and honestly, like, the only way that this equation makes sense to me is if Nintendo can't make a Pokemon game as good as Power World. Like, why would like the staunch refusal to deliver what has been so repeatedly asked for that could then be delivered by a novice game studio on a fraction of the budget? Like, I don't. Somebody make it make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Everything you just said, Nintendo's not even taking into consideration. They're not looking at this game as like, you know, I know
they're not. But that's the thing that I'm like, I know that they're not, but I'm like, what? Like, that's just, I can't even come up with an analogy of or an allegory of something as stupid as that. Like, it's maybe
I don't know, man.
I got one. I got one. Okay. Yeah. So I want to take my car over to my friend's house. So instead of driving it there, I disassemble it piece by piece and take it Uber it over piece by piece and then reassemble it at his house. Like, that's what this feels like. You're like, you could have just done, like, anything. I'm done.
It's too broad. It's too broad. So that means every time a developer wants to make a game, they have to go and take a cross-reference. They're like, do we cross the line on any of these patents from Nintendo? Yeah, pretty much everything.
That's what I mean. And, like, this isn't going to work. Like, it's going to be so expensive, and it's not going to work. Is this to save face? Is this, like, did they generally get caught with their pants down so much, being like, oh, my God, we didn't realize our company, like, we haven't listened to our customers in 10 years, so we didn't realize they wanted something different. Like,
they're not even thinking that. They're not caring about their customers.
Yeah, they don't care about that because.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're like,
right,
I'll tell you
about market research at Nintendo. When they do market research, when they want to port something like Puzzles and Dragons, Mario Edition, or whatever, they don't go out and see what people are playing. They don't look at trends. They didn't look at what Sony was doing. They didn't look what Microsoft was doing. They didn't look what Sega was doing. They go to different marketing firms and get all this data. And then they put together a report that is completely off kilter from what is happening in gaming, right? To make a decision about porting a game over, right? That's how they work internally. They never do competitive research. Competitive research to them is like a dirty word. It's like blasphemy, right? And the same thing with like customer requests. They feel that they work hard on their games and they plan and they know better. So they, when they deliver a product, you should appreciate it because they worked very, very hard on it. I've heard this term multiple times. I've heard stories out of Japan where they're like, well, our engineers and our designers, whatever, they've worked very, very hard on this product, so we feel it's the right solution. You feel that way, but did you check anything? You did any market research? They never did, ever. So that carries on. That is like a tradition with them. So this doesn't surprise me. Them pushing this patent as insane as this is, what Tony read off is par for the course, right? They would have taken less if the judge had any sense, they wouldn't have gotten any of it. But even somebody who said, nah, number one sounds stupid, and you can have like 4 and 5 and 7, right? That they probably were that, but they shoot the moon, right? They got such a broad patent that anybody who they want to screw with, anybody who even thinks of following up Pocket Pair, they will take them. That's what this is about. It's a weapon.
Yeah. Right?
So now they have in their back pocket.
Like you say they don't care about what anybody else is doing. They don't care about what the market is doing. Like, well, they're caring now about this. Like that this obviously
yes, because,
got weird.
Because
I'm just asking for some fucking consistency on their part. And I'm not you know, that's
yeah.
You're not gonna get that from Nintendo. By the way, real quick,
I could still be like,
of course,
call them shit.
Yeah, of course. I'm mad about this. This is insane.
It's again the thing I was gonna say, and by the way, real quick, I want to give a shout out to Dre Day and on Twitch. He goes, you guys are goated, love the show, I never get to watch you guys live, always listen on my drive to work. Welcome, appreciate the love.
Welcome. Appreciate that,
you know. Oh yeah, so anyway, so Brett, to answer your previous question, why is Nintendo doing this? Because they're fucking petty, that's why. Simple as that. They're fucking petty and they're trying to save face. They want to uphold their honor or whatever the fuck bullshit. But it's not about, oh, these guys are doing something our fans want. Let's take them out. They're not even thinking of it. They don't give a fuck about what their fucking like fans want. They don't care. You know? That's not even a thing to consider.
They're all about
they just want the money.
Tactics.
Yeah. There you go.
That's
a bunch of gangsters. Yeah.
Anything that goes after their bread and butter, like Pocket Pair did, Nyko has had multiple lawsuits against them. When the Wii came out and the motion controls they found with the infrared and stuff was insufficient, Nyko went and made an add-on. They made a dongle, right, that went under that could attach to the Wii that had a gyroscope and all that stuff for more precision, right? Nintendo didn't tell anybody they were working on Wii Motion Plus. So out came the lawyers. They go to court. They shut it down. They come out with the Wii Zapper, which was just a piece of plastic. It was garbage. And I honestly, have you ever tried to hold that shit and play anything like Link's Crossbow Training or whatever? It's terrible. Nyko came out with the perfect shot. What'd they do? They sued him. Anytime they did anything, Nyko came out with batteries for the Wiimote. They sued him. Like it's just anything that steps on their on what they want to do or undercuts them, they will go after.
Yeah, the Nintendo's just petty, bro. or it's crazy. But yeah, so I we'll have to see how this actually affects games moving forward. You know, especially with how litigious Nintendo is, they might just start going ham on everybody, you know? So we'll see what's going on, Fergus. You already know. All right, this next story also, again, the next couple of stories are all about Nintendo. So the guy that was making mod chips for the Switch, he now owes Nintendo $2 million.
There's a few of them.
Yeah, but there's one main dude.
Is it the one from Canada or
Michigan? From Michigan.
Yeah, the first guy went to jail for a year.
Yeah.
And he owes them like $10 million. He said, I'll never pay this back.
Was it the Bowser dude?
No, this guy's Ryan Daly. That's the name of this guy. Oh. So it must have been a few people. Anyway, a Switch mod. Let me read this real quick. It's from VGC. A Switch mod chip seller who was sued by Nintendo last year but denied any wrongdoing has settled with the company and agreed to pay $2 million. I don't know.
He was storefront. He didn't make it. It was a storefront.
Yeah.
That's one. All right. That's it. Let's see. Because the other guy, that Ryan guy, that was the guy that they were hunting down. Who him with one other guy producing manufactured the chips, but yeah, so that's
how he's not going to be able to pay that. You know, it's impossible.
They did the same thing with Yuzu and all of them.
Yeah,
they were like they settled. They had to give them money, and it's all because they started taking donation payments. If they didn't do that, they probably still been around now.
Probably, yeah. So you know that guy. It's funny. $2 million is actually it's less than $10 million like the other guy, but still, you know.
And he got jail.
Nintendo always gives me vibes of, you know, the kid that got bullied in school and then he got a glow up when he got older and started bullying like kids.
Everybody got bullied.
Man, what do you mean? They were the bullies. It was bullies from the kids.
They were the bullies. That is true. Yeah.
Since the 80s. That hasn't changed.
They've always been the bully.
They've been around for over 100 years. So, yeah. They're still.
When they were selling cards, you know?
They're selling toys.
People and forcing them to buy their cards. Like, this is the only cards you can use. Then when it got to games, this is the only games you can sell. You sell anything else, that's it.
Yeah, and then even if you did make games, I'm like, you'd only make five. That's how we got Ultra games, Ultra. Shit like that. Yes, this guy, I feel sorry for him, $2 million. You're going to pay that for the rest of your life, and you're still not going to meet that amount, you know? And then the other one, you guys remember that story from CES, that company Genki was like selling like a, you know, they were showing like a fake Switch mock-up or whatever.
It was for the case.
Apparently they settled too. Because of all that insanity. Go ahead.
I don't get that. That's just showing the case. It didn't actually have specs or anything, so it wasn't like they leaked. It was just a shape.
Yeah, Nintendo doesn't care, man.
It's how do they win? That's what I'm saying. I say, yeah, of course they don't care. They're going to sue everybody for all kinds of dumb shit.
No, they won this.
Hold up in court.
Well, Adam, they didn't win any case here. These guys settled because they do not have the funds to continue litigation, right? So Nintendo can strangle them in court with just fees, right? They just keep the case going and open it in multiple markets to bleed them out. And they go, oh, we can't afford this. All right, we'll just figure it out.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's not. It has nothing to. They didn't win. It's the fact that they're essentially just going to keep them in court perpetually until they fucking fold.
Yeah, and they folded.
Party companies
or they go bankrupt
now. No one's gonna want to make shit. They're gonna get scared. Like shit, we make something, then they come after us.
Fergus Mill says, "Big bank versus little bank." Yeah, Nintendo has that money to keep that shit going. You know,
and everybody doesn't remember like litigious. They tried to sue Blockbuster out of existence.
Yep.
For game rentals back in the early 90s. They sued Galoob out of existence for Game Genie.
Yep.
Like this has just gone. It's been happening.
Yeah. Again, they've always been the bully. So, yeah. So, yeah, Genki had to settle.
When this show's over, I'm going to break all my Nintendo.
Damn!
Christ.
Yeah, and again, people wonder why I'm so critical of Nintendo. It's because it's still like this company. They're wild.
Don't worry. They'll just say that I'm just cherry picking and I hate them.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
Well, you do hate them.
Hey Chris, we're gonna have to fire you again from the coalition.
That's it.
Wow, damn! I haven't written for a while. Maybe I got to start so that you can fire me.
Get rid of this man.
Damn, yeah, Chris, you're aware both things can be right.
Yeah. Yeah, Dre Day. Like, yeah, yes, like, you're in the presence of a Lord Fergus Mills, man. He's like, I always hear about him from the podcast. There he is, legend. Man. A legend.
VIP ballin'.
No, he hooked Carlos and me up. I wouldn't have my PS5 without Fergus Mills.
That's it, you know.
He helped me get my platinum in the division.
I'm telling you.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
He hung up with Rich. Fergus Mills is like South. Fergus Mills is like Savoir Faire. He's everywhere.
I remember the first time I played a game with Fergus. Fergus, was it Destiny 1 or 2? It was one. I think it was probably 1, you know? Shout out to Fergus, man. I got them 50, 80, and 90s. Oh, holla at him. Oh, shit. Yo, got them GPUs. Yeah, so yeah, Nintendo, man, they're being a bunch of gangsters. Oh man,
Yakuza, man.
Wait, here's the thing.
Yakuza tactics.
Here's the thing. We're talking about it, and people that read the gaming news talk about, but the casuals out there, no one knows.
Well, they don't know that stuff. They don't know that stuff.
Where's the documentary on that shit? Where's the documentary show?
They'll probably get sued. That's why.
They'll be like slander.
Yeah, don't fuck with Nintendo, man. Yeah, and then the last bit of Nintendo news. This actually does not involve any lost stuff, but there's going to be a Nintendo Direct tomorrow. Apparently, it's going to be the longest Nintendo Direct I've ever had. It's going to be an hour long. It's going to be focused on Switch 2 stuff. So that'll be interesting. It seems like it's mostly hardware. They're going to have games. They're going to have games, you know.
They're going to make another tutorial game and charge $25 you know? For that one. Here's an upgrade to that one. Follow this little dude around and pay us.
No, you know what they're going to do is they're going to lower the price like $1 less, and then they're going to want you to be like excited about
it. Yeah, so one of the reports that's going out now is that the reason this Direct is going to be that long is because there's, again, this for people reporting, this might not happen, that they're going to spend a good amount of time talking about the just announced Super Mario movie 2. So that may be a thing tomorrow. The movie just got
a direct. It's not a game. So
yeah, but you know, they want to pimp their stuff. But again, that's just the report saying it may be bullshit. It may be bullshit. You know,
why not?
Yeah, because I think it would be better if you just have a full hour on just nothing but games. You know,
why are you talking sense, Tony?
Yeah, stop exactly. That. Just Nintendo. Yeah, so.
You know, it's going to be a bunch of third-party support.
Yeah, right.
But those games don't work right on the Switch, too, so what's the point?
Yeah, we've seen those things. Yeah.
Don't bring logic into this.
Right? Let's play the shooting game.
They better announce Metroid, man. And
I was about to say, the date, yeah.
If they don't say anything, this is a Star Citizen of Nintendo games.
What about Pokemon?
but here's the thing, those Metroid games, they never really sold well, at least according to Nintendo, which is why they never scrambled to get one out every year.
Well, maybe you're talking about 3D Metroid, but I mean, the Prime
I like Dread, and then it was like, no, we're not making another one, we're letting that go.
But those were like the 2D indie inspired type games from the past, you know.
We like those.
The Prime games, I feel like I've always sold pretty decently.
They must have sold decently if they keep making them.
But they don't. That's the thing. Look how long
it's. But they're bringing it back. You know.
Yeah, almost like 10 years. Shit.
Probably longer than that.
They wouldn't do that for a Mario game.
Yeah,
they wouldn't wait that long for any of that. That's what I'm saying. It's like, what's the holdup? If this thing can print money, damn, then you fix that printer. You know.
Yeah.
So apparently Metroid, and this is AI Gemini.
Take it how you will. Yeah. Well.
Apparently Metroid Prime 3 Corruption sold 1.41 million, which for Nintendo single party exclusive game doesn't seem like a lot.
That's what I'm saying.
Wait, what system and when, what year?
Oh, that's the Wii.
Okay. Oh yeah, I should have sold more for the Wii. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
for Wii. Everybody and their grandma had one of those.
Exactly. Shows. Yeah, because if it was GameCube, then maybe. But yeah, you're right.
I bet you Rockstar Table Tennis sold more than that shit on
there. Probably just from you.
No, maybe, but it's still, it was, everybody loved that game.
Is that the Team Ninja one? No, that's Other M. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously we can't talk about the Nintendo Records. It hasn't happened yet. So if you see anything interesting, ask us questions for the Sunday show. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Some days.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on here. Another story. This is not about Nintendo. We're done with Nintendo for now.
Yay!
Yeah. So this is from Rich's favorite reporter, Tom Henderson. So take this with So take this with a grain of salt. But Insider Gaming is claiming that the PlayStation 6 is going to have a detachable disc drive at launch. Makes sense. You know, the PS5 got a detachable one. And basically they're saying that it's to help lower manufacturing costs, you know, if they just want to ship it without a disc drive. And also apparently, and this is good news, this should have been the headline, the PS6 itself will have a smaller, more compact form factor, so it's easier to ship. I'm like, good, hopefully it won't be ugly. You know, with the fucking, you know, like, come on, bro. What are we doing with the pop collar? That
massive console they made.
That's what it looked like. It looked like a pop collar.
It's like, let's design a console that needs a fucking stand at all times. You can't lay the damn thing on its side or vertically without a stand.
Did they forget all the people bitching about the Xbox One, the VCR edition when that came out? I'm like, yo, look at this big shit. This is like
they took the worst notes from like PlayStation 3 era. It's like, hey, look, let's make a console that's round on both sides instead of one.
Manny, it is not fair to say that like they can't make the console, because it's not like they've made consoles in the past that can go vertical or horizontal. I mean, that's never happened with PlayStation. It can't be expected that they do it this time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, even the PS1, you had to flip it backwards so it doesn't overheat, you know, or whatever the fuck was going on there.
Prop it up. You propped it up for the fans.
Yeah. Jolly old nerd goes, oh, Lord, PS6 will be $700 with the and the attachable disc drive will be another $100. Yeah,
and then when you call up, you have to speak with a consultant so you can work your financings. It's gonna be just like getting a car. They're gonna be like, yep. Hey, remember
they got a layaway plan.
They got a layaway plan. That's what I'm gonna be doing.
I want to hear Carlos's prediction of the price.
What do you think?
Pro is $750.
I think he's underselling it.
Yeah. I think 700 is
yeah. Well, Carlos, how
much was that pro? Was it that 800?
750.
It's 750 now. 750 is
now.
Yeah. So, Carlos, what did you predict the price was going to be? Because now I want to know, does this factor into the price?
Somewhat. Say no, Carlos, but Carlos, say no. The one I predicted was the Xbox.
Yes.
Because the ROG Xbox Ally was coming out, and they announced the whole AMD partnership and stuff. So, I got that, but the PlayStation one. Well, I said, but by the way, I did say. I mean, the PS Pro was going to be way more expensive.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was going to be this much expensive. So when I thought about PS6, definitely above what the PS5.
It has to be, yeah.
Question: have the sales numbers come in for that PS5 Pro?
They don't put them out separately. They just give you PS5 sales. Yeah,
that's skimping out on it. I would like to know how many.
Yeah,
of course, when it first launched, there's early adopters. Everybody has to get that. But now, how is it selling?
No, they don't tell you that.
Well,
it's just PS5. That's it.
And PlayStation might do the same strategy because these companies know what each other is doing. Remember, we got rumors about the portable PlayStation. It's like, we're the PlayStation handheld. Well, this might be part of the strategy.
We already got that. We're good.
We got the portal, the GOAT. But you know, if they do release a PlayStation portable, you know, or a PlayStation Life, it'll probably be the complimentary thing that's going to release like at $700 or $600-700 that'll get people into the door for the next quote unquote generation.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised by this. Again, they did it with the PS5. They'll probably do it with the PS6. It's just this time it's going to be at launch. Go ahead, Adam.
What's the selling? We saw the selling point for the 5, which was just...
We've been saying this for...
The 5 doesn't have a fucking selling point.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, we're talking about all these big numbers, but still, at some point, some people have to say, even those that picked up the 5 Pro, like, wait a minute, sell me on this. What's new? And don't tell me that you made older games look even better, because you already did that with the 5 Pro. You know, I want to see what this can really do. And what would wow us at this point? I don't know.
You know, it's... it's funny because you weren't here on Sunday. That was actually a question. You know, and like pretty much everybody here said they're not going to buy the PS6.
I mean, we all at least we had a Carl said that. We remember like Xbox, whatever. Remember when we saw the Series X? Oh, you made the meme out of it. Oh, I mean, we couldn't believe it. But so
I think it's because it was just a surprise that it got announced at the Game Awards. You know,
huge surprise on the Game Awards.
Yeah, that was why we reacted like that, because like holy shit. You know, but yeah, no, again, with the PS, and I tweeted about this earlier this week, and some people didn't like the tweet. Even though I was just asking, I was like, are you excited for the next gen consoles? Are you hating? You know, what the fuck are you hating?
And you have to do the pucker face, you have to love everything. That's the way it works. You can't just say, you know what, I think I'm good. No, you can't be good.
You know, by the way, not to derail the conversation, but it just reminded me of this. Why is it that when people see a movie trailer or even a game trailer, right, it's okay to be hyped, but if you criticize it, it'll be like, oh, you can't criticize it. You haven't seen it yet. Okay, why are you allowed to get hyped? You haven't fucking seen it either. You know, it should all be the same here, right? So anyway, that I know that's all off topic, but I hate that shit. You haven't seen it. You can't criticize it. Bitch, you haven't seen it. Why are you getting hyped? You know? Fuck out of here. But Adam, it goes to your point. You have to just kissy face everything, you know? Oh, you have to be excited, you know? And here's the funny thing. A lot of those replies I got, they were excited for like, you know, like cross like potential between consoles and shit. Nobody said games. Everybody was excited about features. No, like, fuck features. I want games, bro. And we're not getting up this generation. You know,
are we getting no loading times in this one?
Yeah, Mark Cerny, where you at? You know,
what about the ears?
Yeah, with the ears, you know, your ears are like dog ears. Oh man, I don't know, but the hell were you doing? Oh, yeah, PS6. And then here's the other funny thing, right? Because people were like, why are you talking about the PS6 now? We're years away from that. Well, bitch, we're 2 years away, bro.
2 years.
Yeah. 2 years. They think it's like 5 years away. No, bitch. 2 years. That's it, you know?
Next year, they're going to start hyping it up. And putting out all that promotional material and, you know, saying, hey, get ready. Get your pre-orders ready. Get your second job ready.
That's it. Three jobs. You know, it's going to be fucking, you know, hey, man, got to get to work. Remember that shit? Yeah. Remember
that? Get your buy now, pay later. Get your personal loans.
Open up an OnlyFans account.
Do sure.
And credit cards.
Shake that ass and get the money so you can get the game on.
Hey, man, gotta go to work, you know. Remember that from a Living Color? The whole family had like six jobs.
Remember Living Color? Remember meeting them dudes over in Jamaica, Queens?
That's it, you know.
Those dudes are real. They're out there hustling.
As soon as the pre-orders get announced, it's too difficult to resist. Yeah, I know how he is. He's like, you'll need the PS6s. with or without a disc drive. You know Fergus Mills, man. You know how he does.
but that's what I'm saying. It's like once they announce it and then everybody sees it and like, oh, their eyes get glazed up. They're like, oh, they start drinking the Kool-Aid quick. But then when you take a step back.
What about the games? What about the games?
That's it. And you take a step back and you take a look. You're like, damn, I don't want to play that. This shit don't even have a release date. So why am I going to get
it? No, Adam, it's worse. It's worse. Every game that's going to be announced, you'll be like, oh, it's also coming out with a PS5. You know? Guess that's what happened last fucking generation. Every game, bro.
They definitely can't kill it. What about Wolverine? They were hyping up Wolverine for the last gen, and that never came out then for PS5. Well, if it, Adam, pushing it for the
it's six. Supposedly going to be shown at a State of Play this month, so we'll see. Go ahead.
I mentioned this during last week's show. Adam wasn't here, so I'll reiterate it. Oh, I feel like this is the correct point. This is how they're going to sell you on the PS6. Remember the last time PlayStation announced a new console? What game did it start with? GTA 5.
Yeah.
But that's cross-platform. That's not going
to... No, think about it. Adam, remember, they're just announcing the brand new PlayStation console, right? What is the first game you see? A game from 10 years ago at that point. That is not... That was a perfect example of what to expect this generation. Nothing but fucking remasters, bruh.
But this time it's going to be different. It's not going to be GTA 5. It's going to be different. It's gonna be GTA 6.
Oh shit!
That's if GTA 6 is anything to shake a leg at, man.
We saw that long trailer already. What, they're gonna show some more of it? I would need something exclusive. I would go back to that Wolf. They gotta show the green looking badass on it. But then they're gonna shoot themselves in the foot if they do a comparison like they used to. Remember when they with the PS4, PS5? Like, look at the difference. So then I get it, you're trying to sell the new shit. But you can't do that with the 5 because produced anything for it. People already set up all this money for the 5, the 5 Pro, and then what? Now you're gonna say, look, it's even better than that shitty one that you just paid $750 for. Now get this one, and we got a financing guy named Ted. You gotta call this number. Good ass deal. It's gonna be great. You're gonna love it.
Yeah, so very difficult to get excited, you know, for these new consoles.
The PlayStation 6.
Throughout that whole conversation. I'm guessing that myself and Carlos were just like that meme of like, say it, Adam. Say it, Adam.
Hey, he said it.
And I bet you, man, I was going to say one game that would get me hyping. Look at that. I can't even. The dude with the from Seattle.
Kurt Cobain.
No, Infamous. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Cole McGrath.
But that, I don't even know if that, because that's just a remake. You know what I mean? Unless they make something new.
You know what'll get you excited? Table tennis.
Gears E-Day.
Table tennis on my meta, man. That is awesome. Around the Racket Fury.
The thing. You guys got me thinking about Family Guy again, man. Remember that when Peter was talking about how he likes it when like movies say the name of the movie in the movie, like this presents a clear and present danger.
Today is our Independence Day.
Hey! And then my favorite one, and I'll save the day, or my name is in Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. Oh man, it's so good. Hey, you said it.
One of the videos, you know, we get comments, and one group said, he's like, I sort of like this show, but you dudes are super nerdy.
What do you expect, man?
That's what I'm saying. Like, look, Jill, when I clicked on this shit,
bitch,
like, look at this, why are you bitching about the way they just said, like, you dudes are super nerdy?
Ask him what's a non nerdy podcast to listen to then. If you do a podcast, you're a fucking nerd, just by default, you know. Right, Carlos? You're all nerds.
You're the nerd.
Yeah. All right, man, let's move on. One of my favorite topics here, former Xbox executive shitting on at Game Pass.
Is it Mikey Barra?
That's another one. Oh, no, this one is someone a little bit more familiar to us, Shannon Loftus, who we were saying she should have been fired. But anyway, we talked about how Pete Hines, you know, the former vice president at Bethesda, you know, saying Game Pass is not good for developers, blah, blah, blah. So Shannon Loftus chimed in. He goes, as a longtime first-party Xbox developer, I can attest that Pete is correct. She goes, while Game Pass can claim a few victories with games that otherwise would have sunk beneath the waves like Human Fall Flat, the majority of game adoption on Game Pass comes at the expense of retail revenue. Unless the game is engineered from the ground up for post-release monetization, I could and may someday write pages on the weird inner tensions this creates. Man.
Ooh.
Okay, hold on a second.
I knew, Brett. I tossed the story here just for you, Brett.
There we go.
We do not slander Game Pass around Brett.
You're going to shoot the messenger, someone who actually works in the industry again. Okay, go, Brett.
No, I'm just saying, no shit, Sherlock.
Uh-oh, you agree then?
Bro, like, of course, if Game Pass is going to have an effect on retail sales. Anybody who plays it on Game Pass is not buying it on retail. That's like 2 + 2 = 4. What you haven't fucking told me is if the money that you make from the guaranteed contract of Game Pass helps to make up or offset the risk from possible lack of retail sales, which you don't fucking get anymore because you can't make a deal with Walmart or anything like that. You have to give PlayStation or Xbox or Steam at least a 30% fucking cut. So, like, you're telling me the part that I already know, but not telling me the part that we keep fucking asking. Just tell us, like, if you're telling us that, like, yes, like, even then, like, yeah, I'm like, I know that you make less money, but you make it for sure than you would if you had a big breakout hit. but you make more money for sure than you would if your game didn't pick up much traction. And a lot of times they use it to get a wider audience, like before or like right after they release a game. I'm surprised to find Hollow Knight's on it right now, actually. So like my big thing is just like, this shit just makes me angry, not because it's untrue or because I'm an Xbox fanboy, but it's weird, disingenuous information. Like, data doesn't lie, but liars use data. I'm not saying this person's a liar. I'm just saying that's a saying. So like, yeah, like, is anybody surprised that like people who can play video games for free are buying them less? Because in other news, water is wet.
Like, yeah, but I think
we've seen it with books. Come on now. Once they went digital with all those platforms, that's it. The physicals went kaput.
I think here's a weird thing
for you, Tony. Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but Blockbuster cut down on retail game purchasing. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But Brett, my question to you is, why are we always hearing more and more stories of former Xbox people calling out Game Pass, a service that they were praising?
That's what I'm saying. Like, this isn't if they weren't calling it out, that'd be fine. But this isn't calling it out.
But it is.
We keep hearing them saying the same thing. Okay, what are they calling out?
They're saying that if you're a game developer, you're getting screwed. That's what they're saying.
That's not what they're saying. They're saying that you get less retail sales than you would if you had a breakout success.
Yeah, that sounds like you get screwed. That sounds like you get screwed.
Okay.
They're choosing to do it then. But then this is up to the developers. No one's forcing them to do this. It's not like, hey, you want to get on the Xbox platform, you got to go through. No, developers are doing this, so there's got to be some incentive. And we know what that is. It's that upfront money. If, let's say, you have a bunch of people that you have to pay, and it's like, all right, well, we need to make X amount of sales to break even and have a profit or whatever. You can't really do that unless you, as time goes on, the game starts selling. But if Microsoft says, hey, we'll give you X amount of money right now, if you put it on for, I don't know, 3-4 months, they take it. And so I don't understand the argument when people are like, oh, it's hurt. Then the developers don't have to do it. They know what they're doing.
This hurts possible sales, but here's the thing. It raises the floor and lowers the ceiling, right? Like, it lowers the amount that you can possibly make on an amazing fucking breakout game, right? But if you're putting your whole budget, if your whole studio's budget on the line, and if this game doesn't hit, then layoffs are coming. People's fucking jobs are on the line. And taking that Game Pass deal might just be the thing that guarantees that you make it to be able to make another game, instead of like being like, I don't know. And then if it doesn't hit, shuttering the doors, right? Like, it's hard out there. And having a guaranteed place where people can access your game to help you make a name with a guaranteed paycheck, yeah, it's not always going to like be the best deal for you. That's the nature of anything of that deal. You know, freelance people always make more than their salaried counterparts, period. That's just how it is, because the freelance people, they don't have the security of a full-time job, right? It's kind of the same concept. So I'm not saying that it's not bad for some people. I also think that's probably good for some people. I think that there are also people who made a game and that game ended up being more popular than they thought, and they regret their decision to go on Game Pass, because in hindsight they would have made more money.
Cuphead, that whole thing, and how that took off, and that was on there.
Yeah, like it's one of those, like, look, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, in my opinion. If you're a young studio, I think Game Pass can really help. Even if you're a more mature studio, fucking look at Valheim. If Valheim had taken, Valheim's on Game Pass now, so they can't be giving that shit away for free. So the money they're getting from Game Pass is sure as shit more than they're getting from their video game sales. I'll tell you, Game Pass isn't hurting their retail sales, because that shit's zero. So, like, there are places that I'm not advocating for. Sorry, not Valheim. The new Dragon Age. Veilguard. So it's a mixed bag, man. It's the nature of the deal. Is more or is less money guaranteed up front versus a chance for more on the back end, which is the better deal? And if you can tell me 10 out of 10 what's the better deal, then I think we can move forward in this discussion. But I think the best that I'll get right now is like, well, that depends. It's contextual. And that's why I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm saying about Game Pass. It depends. It's contextual. It really depends on the studio and what kind of game you're making and how much money you have in your war chest. Like, if you're running slim, I would rather you take the deal. It's definitely going to get you some exposure, and not let go of your people so that you can survive to make another game that, you know, like, if you look at Larian, they've built upon the back of their success and the things that they've done before. So I think that, you know, being able to continue your studio to continue to be able to refine these and make a name for yourself might be the difference between you existing in 10 years and making a big, awesome game or not. What I've heard a lot of is people saying, like, yeah, it wasn't a great deal. We could have made more money. What I haven't heard is Game Pass financially ruined us and we've had to close our studio because of it. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen or it hasn't happened. It just means I haven't heard of it. And I would definitely like to, if any of you have heard of that.
No, but the closest we've gotten is like several studios regretting it. And again, that's my main thing is I'm not trying to, you know, like bring up the
Studios games that have wildly successful games.
The Ori games were, I don't know, wildly successful, but they were pretty popular.
Yeah, Okay, so
yeah.
Oh my God, the games that are the best in the genre and the most famous regretted taking the deal.
In that example,
on the back end.
Yeah, in that example,
I'm shocked.
Yeah, well, what? My favorite, Hi-Fi Rush. You know, what about that one?
Yeah, they were owned by Xbox. That was a whole different thing, and that was bullshit. I will give you that.
Yeah,
but I'm saying most of the people that I've heard complain about Game Pass are not people with games I've never heard of. They're people with games that are probably the top 10 in their indie genre. They're the top of the pile, and they're like, yep, shouldn't have taken the guaranteed thing. Yeah, because you fucking made it. Because you lucked out, right? You were on top of the pile.
So you think give me a second. So Brett, do you think that's what contributes to the developers that complain about Game Pass after the fact?
Oh, 100%, because they look back and they're like, we could have made so much more money if we weren't on Game Pass. Yeah, but you didn't know that before you signed up for Game Pass.
Yeah, and then
you didn't know you were gonna be one of the top 10 Steam games. And now that you do, you're like, oh, well, shit, that really popped off more than we thought that it did. Yeah, those are the people that are like, man, that was a poor decision. And for those guys, yeah, that probably, like, Ori and the Blind Forest was, like, a breakout hit. So was Binding of Isaac. You know, if you're talking about getting those games while they're small and getting them and before they become, like, a viral sensation, then, yeah, of course you're going to wish you didn't do Game Pass. But for a lot of the smaller games that I see on Game Pass, I'm like, bro, I don't know that you want to be out in the wild releasing this shit on Steam for $20. I don't know if you're gonna fucking make it. Like, that space is competitive. So yeah. I'm just saying there's nuance to the situation. All right.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Again, going back to my original question, why are we hearing these stories all the time from former Xbox people?
So you said it. They're former. No one says it when they're working there because they.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they can't. But I just find. I just find it very interesting. I'm like.
I told you. Find me one from a studio that has made a game. When, like, they're all saying this because their games popped off bigger than they expected.
Yeah. Well, in the last two examples, there were like not developers. They were people that were like executives saying, "Oh yeah, this is not good." For whatever reason, you know, like Pete Hines and Shannon Loftus, they're not exact game developers. They're like, they work within their executive. So again, my question still stands, and I'm not getting my answer. I'm not getting an answer.
You're getting it.
They didn't say it was bad. They said it affected retail sales.
That's bad, dude.
Okay. But then that's streaming. Everything. Everybody that's left, whether we've seen it with the Netflix and the dudes that left from there and from Paramount and Disney, all of this streaming is bad for the industry. It's hurting the movie theater still, hurting sales. Of course, no one's buying discs anymore. They want to stream it. All of this is bad, but this is the digital age. Everything has gone digital. Everybody wants it in the palm of their hand for everything.
I don't even think that's bad. Oh, like,
and then you can't take any of that back because it's like
you can't take back. It's out. It's done.
Hold on. Do you guys feel the same way about Blockbuster?
Well, Blockbuster doesn't exist anymore, you know, so can't really feel any way about it.
Looking back, do you think Blockbuster was like, do you feel the same way about Blockbuster? Because Blockbuster wasn't paying these people nearly what Game Pass yeah. is.
Well, Nintendo obviously like, felt a certain way about Blockbuster.
Blockbuster wasn't paying anybody. They were just buying yeah, a few copies, and then that was it.
Rent them out. They bought it.
And yeah. No, that's not true.
Yeah, we had a cousin Manny, Daniel. He was a system manager, and he would tell us. I remember he would open up the cases. It was store bought cases, and he would give me the cases because I would use them for my games. And it was just like
that. That's great. I worked there, and I'm telling you, you're wrong. You worked there. I worked there myself, so I'm a first-hand account. And I'm telling you, if that shit got lost, a regular VHS tape was $110.
They were all expensive.
Do you know why? Because they were commercial licensed copies.
What?
Yes, we picked $110 per fucking VHS because we made deals with the fucking studios to be able to rent those.
RKO were $99 to $80. If I wanted to just go buy one, it cost that much. That was a regular price. Was a store called RKO that was out on.
Bro, you can believe me or not. I'm just saying.
I remember going with my dad and wanting to buy a movie just to see, can I just buy a VHS and seeing the price of like $80 to $100 for one damn movie? I was like, shit, then we'll just keep renting it from the mom and pop shop.
Brett, how did it work for the, because I'm not going to, obviously dispute you on this. How did it work for the video games that you guys rented?
Mostly they were about twice as expensive, two or three times as expensive.
Really? So but like a cartridge would be like $130 something, probably more than that.
Yeah, right around that. Depending on what it was, like Earthbound was like $180. Like they were just fucking ridiculous. But there was also a lot of cheating going on there. Like if they couldn't get their hands on a copy, like corporate would look the other way if you went out and just kind of happened to find a copy. Like, so like Adam's not 100% wrong, but like that, like the whole system was built on Blockbuster paid these people to be able to rent out their stuff. Not necessarily Nintendo, because Nintendo wouldn't sign any contracts with them, and so they just rented Nintendo stuff out, citing that they didn't have a contract with Nintendo. And I think that's why Nintendo tried to sue them at one point.
Yeah.
They were just buying copies.
Answer your question, because obviously, you know, during the Blockbuster days, I was a teenager, wasn't looking at it, but like, were there like, movies? Actually, movies were fucking pissed. They didn't like fucking Blockbuster because they felt they were like cutting on their sales. So yeah, but I'm wondering I'm wondering because I'm trying to equate it to this story. Did we ever have stories of former Blockbuster employees saying the things that Game Pass people are saying about Game Pass?
I mean, we didn't have the
other people say fuck that place.
Yeah, so the bread.
I'm sure you could find somebody. Yes, and if you want me, I can go back. I'm sure I can find somebody saying that. Of course, Blockbuster rental cuts down on the retail sale side of video. But if they really like the video, that they can still go out and purchase it after they've rented it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. No, the reason I bring that up is because I'm trying to, because you asked how did I feel about Blockbuster back then. I was a poor kid. I liked it, obviously. Go ahead.
Renting has always affected retail. I feel like, at least Game Pass is a way, and Game Pass and at least some of the streaming services, like the studios that make the movies or the games, like they get some kind of kickback instead of like it just being rented forever. Because like it used to be, they sold their videos and then that shit was done. There was no evergreen movies. You hoped you made a good movie that was a cult classic, and then when you made another one, that's what kind of drove audience. And we've kind of gone out of that. System, for lack of a better term. Sorry, that sounds clunky. We've kind of gone out of that.
I guess you're saying, I get what you're saying.
Retail, rental and streaming have always been bad for retail, but retail is like one slice of the pie, right? Like the same way online storefronts have been bad for retail sales. Like, do you think that, Sony not having a disc drive was good for retail sales? I'm sure somebody at Sony will admit that because of that, retail sales were down, but online sales were up. Digital sales were up.
Right? Well, it worked the other way around. It's they stopped prioritizing. Well, there hasn't been, you know, there is the discless version of the PS5, but that exists because digital sales were already overcoming regular sales, right? It wasn't like, oh, Sony doesn't have a disc drive, it's affecting physical sales. Its physical sales were already on the decline anyway. So Sony and Microsoft felt comfortable releasing a console without a disc drive, you know? That's how it actually worked.
I could still say retail sales have been hurt by the domination of online distribution platforms.
Oh, yeah, obviously. I agree with that.
Okay, does that mean it's bad for the gaming industry?
I don't know.
Does it mean it's bad for the studios?
Well, it depends, right? It could be for some studios, for sure. And I think that goes back to my other point, or your point about how, like, the only people that are really complaining are, like, the top tier guys. I wanted more money, you know? Like you said, Brett.
That's my guess. Yeah. Prove me wrong. Somebody in the chat, prove me wrong. Accountability group, prove me wrong. Let's find out.
I would like to know too. Go ahead, Manny.
But I mean, what they're talking about, you're talking retail sales, and you're also not considering also actual sales of anything. Yes, they take 30% off of the thing, but that's 30. But there's still a purchase happening for digital. Unlike a streaming service, is you're only paying just a monthly fee to keep the lights on, kind of like a cable. So I would say, like, the only way Game Pass works is if they're the only game in town. If they're the only one there, just like any cable service where people constantly go there for games, which is not the case. This is why it's not working. At least
why
at this
would
point
only
in time,
the only game in town?
Because they have to be the one that everyone goes to. This is why, if you look at the streaming situation now, where even when Netflix was the only game in town before, they was doing okay. But then after, once everything got spread out and everybody started having their own services that you had to pay for, then it all started to fall apart. So it only really works if there's only a few, and I think this is the reason why Game Pass isn't hitting it like it is, like they probably wanted to, is because it hasn't reached saturation yet, and it will never reach saturation. Huh?
And you think the game industry is working right now?
Excuse me, I can't even hear.
Do you think the game industry is working right now?
Is it working right now?
Yeah. Like, if Game Pass is the thing that's, like, causing it to, or if Game Pass is going to ruin the industry.
I don't think that's right? the argument Manny's making.
The monopoly.
I don't think Manny's making that argument, like, by the way.
I'm not making that argument. What I'm saying is, if the only way Game Pass becomes profitable and the only way it's able to sustain itself is if it is the only game in town, which they're not.
I see
no evidence to substantiate that.
By the way, Manny, I kind of disagree with that. They are the only game, unless you're talking about like GeForce Now or something like that.
If there is nothing on the dance floor, if you can't get games any other way.
Okay, gotcha.
Like, you can't purchase them, you can't do it. If Game Pass is the thing.
Yeah, but to be fair, Game Pass is still making money, though.
Game Pass is making money, giant quotes in the air. The thing is that none of that garbage is able to sustain itself, to sustain its own fucking content. And this is the constant conversation that needs to be said. Yes, they're profitable, but are they with all the different games that are being developed for them? Are they able to sustain it? Obviously not, because they're on a fucking PlayStation. They're still fucking buying games.
That's a good point.
Why the fuck does anybody care? Who the shit gives a shit? Like, why, Manny, do you care if Xbox is making a fucking profit? They release a product and a price. Understand why you need to look into a fucking crystal ball and see more than that. Like, why does everybody become a fucking business expert every time we talk to
Brett? We're on a gaming podcast. We talk about these subjects, bro. Come on, bro. I said we're on a gaming podcast. We're fucking ultra nerds. Of course we're going to talk about this stuff, you know?
But somehow magically we're able to realize from nowhere by engagement, right, Brett?
No.
Engagement is this magical nebulous thing that makes everything work. Okay, we just keep clicking.
That's not what I said. The
thumbs up button and money just somehow just magically gets generated.
What?
Anyway,
I'm sorry, you were talking over me. Say it again.
You guys were both talking. But Brad, I'm not a fan of that thing. It's like, oh, you know, why do we care what executives do or companies? So I'm like, because we're not gaming podcasts, dude. Like, come on.
I'm saying, like, just because we don't understand, like, we're not privy to all the information. And we're sitting here being like, oh, it's not sustainable, it's gonna be bad for the industry. Like, we're taking shots in the dark. Game Pass is making money. And again, just because you could look at a couple of people, because you could look at a couple of people who are mad at it, it's like, you show me a system that doesn't have some people mad at it. I'll fucking wait. Yeah. Like, and I am really curious. Like, I want to hear what lower game developers, like, how did Untitled Goose Game feel about this? Because I've also heard people say that Game Pass, not a bad deal. It was guaranteed safe money. Did it save their studios?
Yeah, they have said that.
But that is early Game Pass. This is when Microsoft was effectively trying to get people onto their platform. So they were offering these deals. In fact, quite a bit of them has said those deals don't even exist anymore. So we're talking about early Game Pass and now Game Pass.
Yeah. To be fair, within the last 2 or 3 years, we have actually talked about developers that said it was a good deal for them. So Brett is right about that. You know, it's not an across the board thing.
This is like early.
Two or three years ago, it's not early Game Pass. Early Game Pass is like 10 years ago. You know,
who's the people that said this? Because I've never seen that.
We've recorded it here. Granted, there are more people that are talking shit about it, but there have been a couple. We've talked about it on this podcast within this generation. Mm-hmm. You know, just to be fair, there. But by the way, Brett, I wasn't the one saying Game Pass is unsustainable. Again, my question is just, why are all these people talking shit? That's all I'm asking. Why are they talking shit?
I'm saying it's unsustainable because it doesn't make any sense. Just because it is profitable doesn't mean it can't sustain. It can somehow sustain all of the first party titles that are supposed to be on there. I don't think it does.
Yeah, I think that because we don't know how the money is spread out to each of them. Yeah.
We don't know how much the money is spread about them. And then we're seeing all of a sudden now we're seeing these other titles that are just mysteriously showing up on the competition's console. If it was profitable and if it was sustainable, they wouldn't need to do that, would they?
Yeah, but
I know they want to say they're like, oh, break down the barriers of games. No, they're saying that because it's the only thing they've got now. They have to put it on the competition in order to make some legitimate money. Because again, who's still buying games? PlayStation people are still buying games. Nintendo people are still buying games. People on Steam are still buying games.
You don't think it has to do with the ridiculous disparity in market share?
What, the ridiculous disparity in market share? No, definitely right now. Yeah, they're doing it because they know they can make some money on them.
Yeah,
if the shoe was on the other foot and Game Pass was legitimately profitable and was literally able to sustain all of their content on there, I don't think we would be seeing this situation. It's sustaining its content.
I don't understand.
No, they're saying it's profitable. Again, like I don't understand. Like again, if it was able to sustain its content, we wouldn't be seeing stuff like Hellblade, Indiana Jones, and every single one of their other titles being put on the other platform. It would be able to sustain itself from its What do you mean? No.
That I'm saying you're making a big assumption without all the information. Are you telling me that the idea that like, hey, their business model could be, you're going to go to the other side and pay $70 to $80 per game, or you can come here and have it all on Game Pass. That is, in my opinion, a legitimate market strategy. Like, it doesn't have to do with, like, you are making a major assumption that they're failing financially, the only reason they need to port their games over in order to keep their studios alive.
The only reason why they was because of the way the landscape is. Because I mean, if it was all sustainable, if everybody was on there saying, hey man, we're doing this, it's all paying for everything, they wouldn't be putting these things on other consoles. They would be like, okay, no, the only place that you can get this thing is on an Xbox.
Bro, we're going to have a real problem if you just keep talking when I talk, and when I talk, you just start talking and keep talking.
Yeah, go ahead.
You've done it like 9 times during this conversation. I'm done here.
Uh-oh. You sure? Manny, you can keep quiet or let Brett talk?
No, I'm done, bro. I'm done.
Right. Go for it.
All right. Well, he said he's done. I'm not going to force the guy to talk, you know? I was just going to jump in with, like, we're clearly not going anywhere, so it's probably best where we move
it's gonna
on.
Be a, it's you know? Just going to be a circle. We need to have a whole dictionary worth of proof for Brett to understand or to understand.
No, I just want you to understand. So this is fine. Some of this feelings.
Yeah, Manny. To be fair, though, you were making some assumptions, though. We like I understand what you're saying. It's like yes, it looks bad to put games on the rival platform. It obviously. It like, oh shit, why are you doing that? Things must not be that well, but we don't know that, so we can't make that assumption. So if you're saying that's your opinion, I think that's better to say that, you know, that's what you think.
Let's say it's my opinion.
Yeah.
And we'll just leave it at that. Okay.
Yeah. I still want to hear what Brett had to say though.
I was just going to say, I don't even know.
The sustainability factor.
Yeah, there's no beef. I'm just I'm frustrated because I feel like we're going around in circles. The optics are bad, but because the optics are bad, it doesn't actually show that. We've gotten mixed reports, and I would very much like to see if there was a bias between successful who are the ones that are coming out and saying this. Are they the successful studios that went majorly banger on other things? And I kind of echo what Tony said. We're gonna
look into that, Brett, because I'm with you, bro. I'm like, moving forward, let's look more into it. Like, which are the studios that are doing this? I think that's a good point because it might just be the top tier guys going, "Fuck, we could have made more money," you know.
I'd be really
before and like I'm, record label.
I'm willing to be wrong. Labels.
Yeah, no, but you might be right. You know, so let's definitely keep an eye on that because again, my and I've said this before. My problem is like when it comes to how much money Game Pass is generating, it's always a trust me, bro situation because there's no like third party independent. And, you know, like we have game tracking like websites and stuff. It's hard to do that with like a subscription, so it's hard to know. But yeah, but seeing which studios complain. Which don't, that's something we can verify. You know what I'm saying, Brett? So we're going to keep an eye on that for sure because I'm curious now, you know, who was talking shit? All right.
How many times have we heard with like record labels with bands? Whenever they leave a band, a label or something happens and oh man, they took advantage of us, you know, and we want a better deal and ripped us off. But then when you look back, hindsight, you made all this money, you became big stars. But when they found you weren't big stars. So yeah, they gave you some crazy, oh, we want all your master, the first 3 albums. Yeah, they're making their money. You may feel like you got ripped off now because you're big time. You blew up. But at the time, you weren't. And I think that's the whole argument. It's like, yeah, some people could use a service and it helped them out financially. And others that did use it. Everybody loves it. Imagine if we weren't on this shit. We were just on our own. But we don't. It could have happened. It could have worked out the way. Or maybe it wouldn't. Maybe the reason why it worked this way is because of the marketing behind it. And you didn't pay for that marketing. It was a network was pushing it because of a service that your game was on. You know, and we see that with music. You know, people have different views on it.
Yeah. All right, let's move on here. All right, so there's a BioShock movie in the works. But the good thing, unless they fuck this up, is that it's going to be based on the first game. So I'm just like, Hollywood, okay. just stick to that and you'll be good. Don't start injecting weird shit. You know what I'm talking about. Brett, would they kindly not fuck this up, you know?
Yeah. Ooh, maybe you should ask them that way.
Yeah, right. But yeah, but we'll see. But you know, that seems cool. You know, that first story, BioShock 1 is probably still arguably the best one in the series. So I think that's good to you know stick with the one that everybody knows. Mm-hmm. Now, is this a movie? Yeah. Movie, right? Or is this a fucking show?
Not a series.
Yeah, because again, it says Netflix. So who the fuck knows? Well, it says BioShock movie. I mean, you know, so
I mean,
could be animated too.
Could be.
Well, we'll see. It could be an animated film. I mean, Netflix is kind of hit or miss when it comes to adaptation. I just look at Death Note and be like, ooh. And Cowboy Bebop would be like, ooh.
Yeah, it's a movie. It's directed by Hunger Games guy. And Manny, is something I learned from you. If it's a director of, like, animation, then you know it's a series or something, you know, or some like low ranking guy.
Yeah, if it's a guy that that's known for animation, it's usually going.
Yeah, so this is what it says here. Netflix wants us to keep everything under wraps, but it's definitely going to be based on the first Bioshock game. That sounds promising, but you know, we'll see.
We'll see. You know, their video game adaptation game has been pretty lousy. Resident Evil, that was a pretty bad one. And I mean, the only good thing that came out of the good adaptation that people sort of like is the One Piece one. But that's because the fucking creator of One Piece said, "Don't fuck this shit up." And he was an executive producer like that had actual say as to what was going to happen, you know, on the show, as opposed to like some of the other guys that just say, yeah, whatever. Like Watanabe didn't say anything on that Cowboy. No, he had no say on that.
Yeah.
They just gave him a placebo role.
Does he still, is that show still in people's good graces with season two?
What?
I don't think season hasn't come out yet.
One Piece season two hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
I'm really curious if a lot of people were like just so surprised that it wasn't absolute garbage like Cowboy Bebop. So, like, now that they know what they're in for, like, are they going to be like, it's not as good as season one or, you know,
There's always going to be people. There's always going to be.
You have that crowd, but there's the influx of new people that got into the One Piece fandom is ridiculous from the show. Like it brought a lot of people into the fandom, not even just the live action, but the anime and manga as well. Since that show,
That's what a good adaptation does.
it's what got me to go back and watch the original anime.
Yeah, there you go.
See, right?
700
But that's like the key, right? Like where it's like we say this a lot of times. Some of the other adaptation stuff, it's like it's not that difficult to try to do that. And the thing is that it, especially when it comes like that, it's secular. People will want to go back in and be like, okay, what's this thing about? Let's see what it's about. Mal, this is cool. I like it. And it's also recognizable enough, at least the show compared compared to the anime, compared to the comics. So it all still feeds off of itself. But places like Marvel and DC don't seem to like doing that. We're essentially like, hey, how do we get people back into our catalog and get more sales going?
They don't care. They actively tell directors and actors, don't read the comics. We're doing our own thing.
So weird.
Fucking stupid.
I'm really excited about the relaunch of the animated One Piece kind of. I know it's not going to be called One Piece Abridged, but that's just where I'm going with it.
Yeah. It's called The One Piece.
Is it One Piece Kai?
Yeah. It's, bro, like the I have seen the planned list of like some of these seasons are like going to be 32 episodes long. I was like, bro, you took 108 episodes. Like Skype is down to like 20 some episodes. Wow. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's like next to nothing. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like that's great.
Well, by the
it's
way,
a smart it's move.
It's
a smart move. Now we're in an OTAN.
Yeah. I was about to say, I know this, but I'm curious. So I'll let it go for a little bit. So Brett, is that going to be happening concurrently with the normal One Piece show?
Yes, it is, and they're actually both slated to finish around the same time.
Wow, that's crazy! So the new show is going to catch up real quick, I guess.
But they're actually doing that on purpose. So you're going to have like your choice, but then the finale of One Piece will be almost kind of a universal simultaneous thing if it goes right, which would be, especially if they lock it in with the Netflix thing, like all three One Pieces had their series finales like back to back to back. So like nobody knows how the fucking shit ends until everybody knows how that ends. You know, that'd be a cultural thing. Like that make Endgame look like peanuts.
That's crazy.
Brett, I'll tell you this much. That's not going to happen.
I know.
Studio Wit is the one making the remake, and they take their precious time for anime. Their track record is, you know, they took years.
Attack on Titan. It's just going to with the new anime too, aren't they? Because like
the new anime chugs it like fast. Like they're like McDonald's burgers. They come out quick,
bro. And like they, I don't know if they're going to finish them at the same time then.
Yeah, because the manga is probably 5 years from ending.
I was going to say that. You know,
Jesus.
Yeah, we should probably.
They're still that far. I thought they were finishing up the manga.
No, they weren't. They're still far, far away.
It's in the final saga, but yeah, there's still a lot.
Because Oda takes some time to release them, right?
That's the worst thing about it.
Yeah. No, I said Oda. He takes his time with the releasing the chapters.
He's gotten worse because you know health stuff and. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been involved with, you know, the movies and the live action, so he dabbles.
Right, you're roboting, bro.
Hold on, let me get close to my phone. I'm with the ever-growing crowd of people who are nervously looking at their watch being like, so, like, you're going to, like, get this done? Or, like, just saying, we all get old. Time passes on.
The George R. R. Martin effect?
Bro, just finish it before you die. Like, please.
I mean, George is a special case. By the way, Oda is just turned 50 this year, so
he's still young.
You know, he's still
damn pretty
young. Yeah,
dude popped off young. Holy shit! And as for RR, I think RR is trying to die before he finishes. He does not know how.
No, but why?
Straight up says he doesn't know how to write. Like he's like, I think some people are architects and some people are gardeners. Some people build their stories and some people let them grow naturally. And I was like, that is the most bullshit flowery way of saying I don't know what I'm doing or where I'm going with any of this.
No, it's not bullshit per se, because it is true. Like some writers just write off the cuff. But here's the thing. His problem is not that he's a gardener. His problem, he's not consistent. Stephen King is a gardener, and this guy releases like 50,000 books. So it's George Martin. Stephen
King.
He lacks discipline. That's his problem.
Okay, Stephen King, I'm pretty sure, still has a scaffolding of an idea. Like, Stephen King knows where his book is going to begin and where it's going to end. And the middle part is a lot of where you let it grow, right?
Yeah. No, I agree with you, but just to clarify, Stephen King has said sometimes he doesn't know where his books end. Like, he wrote one book, I think it was The Shining. He's like, oh man, I'm glad the kid lived at the end. It's like, because he didn't know.
Oh, damn, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's, well, I don't know. Are there a ton of loopholes in the Dark Tower series then? Because, like, bro, I've been listening to, like, a lot of audiobooks lately, and some of these motherfuckers, like Matt Dinneman, the Dungeon Crawler Carl series, fucking beautiful. Just listen. I'm not even gonna explain. Just go into it and listen. That shit is hilarious. But that motherfucker is like dropping leads 4 books ahead of time.
Yeah, no, Stephen King doesn't do that. He says that he doesn't like to plan because he feels that he already told a story, so he's bored and doesn't want to do it. But that's a typical gardener thing, you know. But basically, my point is like, architects and gardeners is not a bullshit thing. That's actually a real thing. But it's just Martin doesn't have any fucking discipline. That's his problem, you know? And also, so we're talking about this, Brett, the inherent problem with architects is you get a really awesome ending, but then things may be a little too formulaic because they overplanned. And then with gardeners, everything's dynamic. It's cool. But then the ending sucks because they just like, okay, and now we're done. You know? So it's like, you know, if you can have both of those, then you're like, you know, in a good spot. That's why Brandon Sanderson, he says he plots out, you know, he plots out his like main arc, his main story, but he gardens his characters so they're more dynamic, you know. And it seems, but he has discipline. That motherfucker puts out 3 books a year and they're fucking thick, you know. Manny sent me this link a while ago. So this guy was saying that basically George Martin is not a professional writer. And I agree, because a professional writer puts shit out, you know? Anyway, let me stop shitting on George R. Martin. Brett, see what you did, bro?
You turned this into the... You guys turned...
Oh, damn! Oh, no, there he is. Hey, Brett, you back?
You got...
Yeah, you died when I was blaming you for making me go on a rant about George R. Martin. Like, see what you did? But then I realized, I'm the one that started it, kind of. Anyway.
You did.
George R. Martin, again, he lacks discipline. He lacks fun, because there are plenty of gardener writers out there. That motherfucker is just undisciplined. That's all. Or, Brett, you know what I think it is? I think he's scared to finish it, because he doesn't want to get the same backlash that the show got, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, he told the people in the show what he was going to do, and then they did it, and he was like, oh god, why'd they do that? That wasn't the ending I was going to do. I'll let you guys know when I get that done. I haven't even written it yet.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
You know, he should have finished writing it before that damn show started.
Yeah, well, yeah. Again, he didn't know how to. He wrote himself into a fucking corner. That's one of the problems of being a Gardner writer. He trapped himself and he didn't know how to get out, you know? And then he finally figured it out, but then everybody hated the ending of the show. You know? Go ahead, Brett.
Oh, do you know why he put Direwolves in the show?
Oh, well, that was the actual inspiration. Like, basically, he had a dream about, like a medieval setting and a kid finding a direwolf. And that was the inspiration that set everything off.
Yeah, but do you know why it made it into the show?
Because it was in the book?
Do you know why it made it into the book?
Okay. Aside from it being the main inspiration.
Yes, aside from being main.
Okay, inspiration. Why?
Nobody knows.
Oh, nobody
knows. He doesn't know.
He probably doesn't.
Yeah. No, like he doesn't know. Like he's like, oh, it's the idea of like a kid fighting a direwolf, and so I put some kids with direwolves. Okay, so what'd you do with the direwolves? I killed them one by one. What? Why was this for some narrative plot device? No, I just kind of forgot about them, and then I didn't know what to do with them, so I put them in a cage and killed them. And I don't know, man. Just some stuff happens, some stuff doesn't. It's the fact that the inspiration for your show, like, was a nothing burger. Like, I don't know, man. Like, nothing speaks more volumes to me than that right there. Like it is the literal foundation upon which you built your show, and it led nowhere. Nowhere. It's just bad. It's just bad. He's an undisciplined, bad writer. And then you have people out here like fucking Robert Jordan and fucking Terry Goodkind having their shit fucking slaughtered. Even Tolkien having his goddamn shit slaughtered.
Yeah, it's a damn shame, man. A damn shame. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. There's a couple more stories here. This story I threw in here just for my own purposes. Panzer Dragoon Zoo, man, it's coming. I've been asking for this game.
Wait, really?
Yep, they got a remake. It's coming, and I have mixed feelings about it. I'm happy that it's coming back, but I don't like the graphics.
Does it look like that last remake they did?
Yep, and I think, you could tell they didn't put a lot of money behind this thing. But I'm like, I'm like a beggar here. I'm like, I want Panzer Dragoon back. So I'm fine because I'm like, I hope this leads to Panzer Dragoon Saga. That's what I want, you know? They're going to have to rebuild that from scratch because they lost the source code. But it's good that they're at least, the first remake must have made enough money that they decided to make a second one. But I don't think they put a lot of money into that first one either. People had issues with that one. But yeah, and apparently this was announced a few years ago, but yeah. Again, I'm happy it's coming, but it looks rushed or low effort, you know? But we'll see. When is it coming? I don't know when it's coming out. Here's some of the stuff it has. I know that 20 years before the first game, Dragon Evolution, that's in the original, Rail Shooter, all that good stuff. And it's going to have two control schemes, classic and modern. So that's interesting. Remastered music, interesting. I'm with it, man. Sega Saturn, let's go. And then the last thing I just threw in here for fun, speaking about returns, Acclaim is back. Like, okay. And they have, and
we talked about this before, another company bought it. That's all. It's just by name.
Yeah. Yes. Is that what it, like, that makes yeah. sense? Yeah.
Is anybody from the original Acclaim?
You
there?
Know that. Is you it know just, it is.
It's kind of like Atari. They just bought the name. So, okay. Yeah, so what are they going to do?
They announced 9 games, games that you've never heard of because they're all seem to be brand new. But they don't seem very,
they're a publisher right now.
Yeah. They don't seem very high effort, if you know what I mean.
They look like a lot of indie games, right?
Yep.
It's like side scrollers and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember seeing.
It's some side scrollers. The one that kind of stood out that everyone's talking about is this like SSX Tricky type of game. It's a 3D game, you know. Another game here looks like kind of like Splatterhouse. That's kind of cool. Catanaut. But it's like from a bunch of developers I've never heard of, basically.
So it seems like they're just, at least in this juncture, they are pretty much just going in and being a publisher. I you know, unlike
Atari, where they actually went and bought back all the rights mm-hmm. to all of their games so they could put all their games out again. And then they've sort of installed themselves as like the classic game archivists, at least when it comes to like the Mortal Kombat
you know,
collections. And there's a couple of other things that they have in the pipeline. It looks like that they're going to be classic games. They like essentially preserving classic game titles. So it'll be interesting. What's Acclaim going to do?
A release indie games.
And does Acclaim even own the rights to any of their original titles?
What were their original titles?
I just remember them from making.
Porting Mortal Kombat and NBA Jam. That's all I remember them for, porting those games.
Yeah, a lot of wrestling.
I mean, Valiant has been excised from them. Remember?
Yeah.
Valiant was bought by them. So they don't own any. They don't own Turok. They don't own any of those titles.
He's out of Long Island. Who knows?
They used to be out in Long Island. Yeah,
yeah.
Me, Tony, and our buddy Mike applied to be game testers.
We were 15.
We were 15, and then I did get the call. I actually did get the call from them. But I had to travel out to Long Island. I didn't know how to do
that. Yeah.
I had to take a Long Island. I looked it up. And it was like I had to take a Long Island Railroad and like a bus just to get over it.
Wasn't far on 71st Continental. Wasn't there a stop like next to that McDonald's near Main Street?
Yeah, no, there's that. There is that. But like, you know, if anything, it would have had to have been like it depended on what location, what part of the Long Island it had to be.
Yeah,
I can't exactly remember. But at least when I remember, it was like you could take the Long Island Railroad there. But it was like a really long, there was no buses or any, so you pretty much had to walk or take a taxi from there. So
yeah, because once you get to Long Island, you need a fucking car, you know?
No, you do need a car. Like there's very little public transport there.
Yeah. And the little that is there takes a long time. But yeah, Acclaim. The reason I brought up the story is because so Manny could tell that story. You know, we applied to Acclaim back in the day, man. So that's how long we've been in this gaming thing. You know, since we were teenagers. Heading to the movies to watch Demon Slayer. I'm out. Have fun, Fergus Mills.
Oh shit! Yeah, I'm going next weekend. Tell me how it is, but don't spoil nothing.
Good stuff.
I wonder if it'll do the same numbers as that one that was released during the pandemic. That one did crazy numbers.
Oh, I'm going Saturday.
Excuse me?
Damn. Yo, man, that's like three people we know is doing this.
That's
man, anecdotal evidence.
That's it, man.
Anecdotal evidence. That means it's going to be the greatest thing ever.
Rich is that now. He's at the cinema, right?
No, he's right here.
Oh, I'm pretty, yeah.
Oh, shit. No,
I mean, his avatar is here. Rich is
a ghost. Oh, man.
Rich is a ghost.
His force spirit is transferred in.
Yeah. All right. Let's start wrapping up and let's conjure Rich here. Rich is coming up on the Coalition, man, this weekend. Uh-oh.
Not enough.
We don't hear nothing. He unmuted himself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am here, and I enjoyed that spirited debate between Manny and our boy here.
Brett.
Brian. Yeah, Brett.
Listen, the show's called Throwdown, bruh.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so to answer the question, the Coalition, myself, Mr. Adam Vale, and Mr. Carlos Romero, we will be continuing to review The Walking Dead. Daryl Dixon, by far the best spinoff that The Walking Dead has ever had in recent memory. So definitely check out our I Am Negan podcast, the next episode of Sunday night. I'm going to pass the mic over to Adam Vale because I'm sure he has to talk about a TV terminal. The last thing I will say is, yes, I am very, very busy playing a ton of games I can't talk about yet. But stay tuned. There's going to be a lot to talk about in the weeks ahead. So that's all I can say.
There you go. All right, Adam, TV terminal, man. What's going on?
Well, that too. But then also games. Borderlands. They sent over Borderlands today. Doesn't that game come out tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah. Rich, we're going to talk about that off air because I got some stories.
What the heck?
No, it's out now, so it came out on the 11th, no?
Yeah.
MoCal F milk. You know, it's like, oh, here you go. Thanks, but then shit, thanks. Then what am I supposed to do? You know what I mean? It's like now I'm behind it, whatever. But anyway, yeah, that's...
Yeah, we'll talk about that off air. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's going to be... That's looking forward to that. Let's see, TV Eternal. Yeah, we got the Chief of War, Jason Momoa show. That's coming close to an end. All major characters died in this week's episode. That was so sad. Brutal way.
Spoiler.
Well, yeah, it's a spoiler. But I didn't say who died, but damn, people. A lot of people. Pick one. But we covered that. That's there. Of course, Dark Wolf, The Terminal List. It's an Amazon show. If you like a lot of Call of Duty, then you'll like that show. Oh, and then what was it? Of course, as we mentioned, I Am Negan, but that's all Coalition also. And I feel like it's something else I just did. Don't remember what it is. But it doesn't matter. There's a lot on that set. But yeah, go ahead, check it out. TV Terminal on YouTube, also on the Coalition. And yeah, you can find us. We're doing a lot of shit.
Are you covering CSI Miami?
CSI Miami? No, but there will be another. We're covering Law and Order, Organized Crime. When that Jesus. Comes.
No.
Yeah, so we'll be covering, we'll be covering that one. Oh, man, I feel like I'm forgetting. There is something. Whatever.
The Fallout.
Well, eventually, yeah, that's later on. But that's the
December. I know. Slow Horses.
Soul Horse. Well, yeah. That's September 24th. So definitely we'll be mm-hmm. covering that. And that'll be the next recording. A lot this weekend. A lot of trying to get things in the bag and the game. It's a lot. It's a busy time. It's a busy time for everything. The whole point is that we're creating a lot of stuff. So go check it out. Whether here in the Throwdown or the Coalition, the V-Terminal, all that stuff. Support us all. Hang out with us all. You're ready here.
The Eurocarnite.
Get the bullshit.
That's it.
Get the bullshit. Hey,
the day this shit gets monetized so I can pay the bills, I'm like, here we go. Subscribe. Let's cut the bullshit. I already have my own.
You can have that shit tattooed. That's it. Your forehead.
Oh, and it's man. True because as Rich knows, because you see the numbers, I can see close to 3,000 hours, watch hours. So it's getting up there. But the subs, almost 800. But if all those people that were watching, because I could see the different, it's not just a reoccurring, I see 2,000 different people. If they all just subbed, this is why. Now I get it why so many people please say, please subscribe. It's not that they're trying to get people to do it. They're trying to get the people that are always coming back to do it. They're like, you're already here. I know you're here. Because I can see the hours. I know you're doing it. Do it. Just click it. You know, it's. And I said, I was like, if you like it, like, subscribe. If you don't like it, like and subscribe.
That's it.
Like and subscribe. That's it. You got something nasty to say? Put it in the comments. And people have done it. And I say thank you. And I give them a like. And you know what? They do subscribe. And now they hate watch.
They hate watch.
Yeah, they hate watch.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That's the thing.
No, you're right. That does happen. Like, even this week, you know, I was watching, you know, a channel that I've been watching for years. I'm like, oh, I've never subscribed to this shit. So, a channel I've been watching for years. I'm like, oh, shit. I just assumed I had subscribed because it's always on my feed. You know, like when a new episode pops up, there it is, you know.
That, but you know how the feed works. It's a bunch of shit you don't want to watch as opposed to the things that you do watch.
To be fair, and actually, that in my situation, my feed is pretty good because I'm like, it's giving me too much. I'm like, I want to watch all of this, you know? But as I start scrolling down, then it starts getting into some nonsense. And then mainly, like I told you before, like, why are you recommending shit from 6 years ago? What the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, what you is know? Up with that thing? And it just all of a sudden flashback. It's like, here. 5 years ago, this video from Digital Foundry. I'm like, oh, wait,
this is
what
I was thinking. This is, I see that too, and I don't know if you get the emails. YouTube,
you get the emails.
They talk about promoting and stuff like that. And what they'll do is they will send an email and they'll say, "Hey, this video you did X amount of months ago did very well. Do you want to promote this?" You know, and then you give them whatever amount of money, depending on how you want to promote it, and then they push it because they're like, hey,
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
we do good now. So throw us like $20 and we're going to push it out there for you. We'll do some promoting. And I think that's what's going on. So I think some people.
Yeah, like, that makes sense.
Like, I did do good a few months ago. Let's remind people. And that's why you see this random old shit pop.
Yeah, but like shit from 6 years ago. I'm like, why do I need to watch you know, angry gamer nerd video from 10 years ago or something.
Next time that happens, click it and then just take a look at the numbers. If you see some ridiculous count, then you know that's why. Exactly what
makes sense.
By the way, shout out to speaking of videos I've been recommended, a lot of Torrance Davis videos.
Excuse me?
Apparently he's working off a new studio, so shout out to him.
All right.
Yeah.
That's what's up. No, all right. Studio. Yeah. Manny, you got anything?
I see him on the boat.
Yeah. So, yes. What we got going, you know, MGS Con, you know, all that stuff has already happened. Still got some, you know, nostalgia E covers coming up soon with Kari Randolph. Also, Power Rangers number 9. Power Rangers Prime number 9, the cover myself is out there. We also do have a contest that we did mention in passing. Unfortunately, I wasn't here the last episode where we could actually hash that out. But I can actually tell you what we're going away. We're going to be giving away...
Real quick, only because it's related. Kari, has he ever been on the show? I want to meet this guy.
We've had Kari on like once or twice. You have? Yeah.
We have a long,
time ago.
I always hear this is your partner in crime for a lot of this stuff. Like, shit, I have to meet this guy. All right,
cool dude. We do have I can tell you what we are giving away. So what it is the collector's edition of Metal Gear Solid Delta, but it's a special version of that. It not only comes with the game, the patches, and but it has some additional things. We have a Foxhound sticker that's included with it, a box of Calorie Mate, which is also going to be inside there. My original Solid Zero Subsistence art book with the Metal Gear Con exclusive belly band on it, and 3 pieces of original Metal Gear posters and prints that are also going to be all included. So this version is what I like to call the Zero Collector Edition. So it has everything that you would ever want from the Collector's Edition, plus a little bit more. So that will go out to the luck. But now we have to hash out how we're going to get this to the people.
Yeah, and when? Do we want to do it on Sunday or want to do it next Thursday?
I would say let's go for next Thursday.
Okay.
Let's just do this. We can do this, maybe do a setup on this weekend.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Get
Right. Works for me. All right, man. I start wrapping up, so make sure you follow Throw It Out on Twitch and Twitter. Like Adam said, subscribe, you know.
Cut the bullshit.
Yeah, hit like, subscribe, ring the bell, be notified, all that good stuff. Join the Discord and check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley. Hey, take care, everyone. He didn't say nothing. Carlos Romero.
I'm officially old. You know how I knew that?
Oh, how?
I don't get the whole Labubu thing. What the hell is up with that?
You
guys are older than me, so that makes sense.
The fuck are you talking about?
Man, I don't know. You know
him. I know Carlos.
That's a baby talk.
You talking about Honey Boo Boo, like that fat bitch? Right? Like, what are you talking about? I don't know.
And Brian will probably explain this to us because he's more in the know probably. But yeah, it's something that I don't understand.
Okay, let's do that after the show. What the fuck you talk baby talk? Adam Vale.
Have a good week. Don't eat a Snickers upside down.
Brett Murdoch.
It has been real, party people.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
I only know that Borderlands 4 came out because Ryan Pitchford tweeted something stupid.
Oh, man. All right, guys. We'll see you on Sunday. Stay safe out there. Peace.